Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
The Dan Bernstein Show. Weekdays 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
I don't know if anyone has an edge, but I would say it's a little bit of a disadvantage for like echoing Coach Nagy's words, a little bit of a disadvantage for Nick, just because, again, we all know the what's new in the building, you know, the teammates, the weight coaches, the strength coaches, the nutritionists, all that. But then there's life outside of football that's new too. So, you know, sometimes we forget, and I'm as guilty of it as anybody as a coach, because we're all football. You know, this guy just had to move his family across the country too.
That's Flip. John D. Filippo, part of this Bears offensive brain trust, and we're still trying to figure out who does what. Between him and Dave Ragone and Bill Lazor, they all have titles. It's a quarterback's coach and passing game coordinator and offensive coordinator, but we still have Matt Nagy in charge of everything that involves the offense. So I don't know what they do. I just know that they're all here to try to make everything better. I don't know if it is or not. Let's talk to Robert Mays of The Ringer. He's on Twitter at Robert Mays. He is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park. Robert, how you been?
I've been good. How are you?
Good. I'm hanging in there. I've been it's very strange to know that the Bears are practicing, but we don't have any eyes on them. So we really have to go with what they're saying about it and their impressions of things, because there might be a disconnect between how they're describing what's happening and what's actually happening. We don't get to hold them to it because there's no fans and no reporters.
It's very strange. I was talking to a head coach earlier this week and lamenting the fact that I can't be at training camp, because usually this is the time of year where I'd be on the road. And he unceremoniously said, "Well, I'm happy you're not here." So it's kind of in that mode. I think they're just fine with the fact that there aren't eyes on them right now, even though we're a little upset about it.
They don't have to be so obvious about it. I mean, they could at least pretend.
He was half kidding, I think. I think half kidding is as far as I'll go.
Well, I have been thinking about this. As much as we're focused on Trubisky versus Foles and whether or not there is such thing as an objective quarterback competition, I do not think there is in my experience. I don't think I've ever seen one, even if it's intended to be. There are always preconceived biases. There's always coaches rooting for one guy over another who can tend to have that observational bias in how they assess the relative performance. But how much of the Bears' quarterback issues have stemmed from the fact that they've had one significantly competent, reliable receiver, and it's understandable that regardless of what the reads are supposed to be and the progression's supposed to be, it's only natural for somebody to want to find Allen Robinson?
It's a really interesting question. I think it almost is related to what you said and kind of hinted at about all the cooks in the kitchen with the offense. When you don't know where the lines are drawn, whether it's with player development, whether it's what the offense looks like, it's hard to kind of place blame. So if you look at overall just how the offense has stagnated or failed to progress, who do you put that on? Is it hard for skill position players to develop when you don't have good quarterback play? Is it hard to have good quarterback play when you don't have a well-designed offense? Is it hard to have a well-designed offense if you don't have good quarterback play? So you almost talk yourself in circles, and I think that that's the problem with this team in general and kind of why they've plateaued and fallen off since that 2018 season, because it's from so many different directions. The players have failed to develop, and Anthony Miller is the guy I would point to specifically. You trade up to get a guy like that. He didn't do what you wanted him to. Tariq Cohen fell off. David Montgomery wasn't what you want. None of the skill position players have developed at the degree or with the pace that you want them to, and I think it's really hard to kind of divvy out blame for why that's the case. I personally have no idea. I don't know if it's schematics. I don't know if it's a lack of position coach talent. It's really hard to figure out.
And getting back to Robinson for a second, I guess I didn't really appreciate how good he is, because I was, you know, of course, my son was just like pretending to be his agent, I guess, because we were driving somewhere and I made some comment. I said, yeah, Allen Robinson's pretty good. I don't know if he's elite. And he goes, hold on a second. And he gets on his phone and then he proceeds to present an arbitration case, the likes of which was just beating me over the head with it. He's like, well, he's ahead of Julio Jones in this. And like, look at this for number of first downs and catch percentage. And I'm like, okay, I give, uncle, man. I just, all right. And he said, he's just really pounding the table. He said, Allen Robinson is an elite, elite receiver. He is a legitimately great receiver. So when I know that Nagy says, if this guy's not open, your eyes go here. If this guy's not open in there in this coverage, you go here. That factoring in that throwing to a covered Allen Robinson may be smarter than throwing to a quote unquote open somebody else.
It's a question you have to answer on every offense. I remember talking to Kyle Shanahan after the 2015 season, and that was his first year in Atlanta, and they had just force-fed Julio Jones that year. I mean, just so many targets. I want to say he caught over 100 balls that season. His numbers were gaudy. And Shanahan said to me, as they were kind of going into that 16 season when that offense really exploded, he said, I'd rather throw the ball to Julio less, because I think that's the mark of a good offense. So I agree. I think that when you are so fixated on a single guy because he's your best option, typically you're not throwing to the right guy. But if you take that conversation a step further, think about how many times Trubisky has overthrown a Taylor Gabriel coming on that deep over route to the left, or Anthony Miller going in a similar direction at that area of the field. It's so hard to have that kind of equal opportunity throw to the right guy offense when you don't have trust in your quarterback to make those throws when they're on the table. And that's the problem here, is that all these things start eating each other.
Well, that's when it comes down to trust. Ultimately, that first relationship between coach and or play caller with the quarterback, once that erodes, everybody in the offense starts to feel it a little bit. And I think we kind of got there last year. We could tell. It's not what they say, it's what they do. It's what plays are called when and where the ball is going when. And it's in our understanding of interpreting their risk tolerance. And I think there was a moment, it was October, when we started to feel that thing going. I think it was the Chargers game. We're like, he doesn't trust his quarterback, and that's no fun.
That's my problem with this entire conversation and situation, is that I still want to give Nagy the benefit of the doubt to some degree, because I think it's really, really hard to construct a functional offense without a functional quarterback. I feel like it can short circuit the way that you even think about how you want to design plays, how you want to set stuff up. Because if you don't have some modicum of trust, if you don't get over the necessary bar, I think it just completely topples everything else. And I think that's why I want to see what it looks like with a different quarterback. I don't know what the ceiling is with that different quarterback. I still think no matter what happens this year, this is a franchise spinning its wheels, but that's an entirely different conversation that's just going to depress me. So
no, but let's have that then. Let's have that conversation. Spinning its wheels, how? Why are you already concluding that?
What's the best case scenario for this season? I guess that's the question I would ask you. What, in your mind, what is the best thing that can happen to the 2020 Chicago Bears?
The best thing that could happen is all of a sudden Mitchell Trubisky magically becomes a master at recognizing coverages, at reading defenses, and takes a multi-incremental step towards stardom.
That is correct, and I think that ship has sailed. That's my problem, is that I think that timeline is a non-starter. I think all the positive outcomes for this season, in my mind, involve Nick Foles as the starting quarterback, and I feel like on those timelines, you can only go so far. Because of his opt-outs, because of his age, because of what we've seen from him previously, because of the rest of the makeup of the roster, I've almost just written off those Trubisky possibilities in my mind, because in my opinion, I think I've seen enough.
it's also because of the over-reliance on the passing game and using the running game supplementarily and or using running backs as receivers, that there are still those in this city that believe that balance is a necessity, that a commitment to balance is inherently good. I've generally not been one of those people, but it makes me feel that way when the passing game falters. Naturally, we start to think, well, you know what, just line up and punch some people in the face and matriculate that thing down the field. I just don't think Matt Nagy's wired that way.
I don't think you should be wired that way in 2020. I don't think that's how it works. I think that the teams that are able to rely on their running game are teams that seamlessly blend their running game and their passing game. That is the thing you need to do. It's not about having a running game that can destroy people and just march down the field, because I think that for the most part over a 16-game season, that version of football has failed. If you look at what teams like Tennessee and what teams like San Francisco were able to do offensively, even Minnesota to a certain degree, I think that some people are probably going to come out and say, well, it's because they have these dominant running games. That's not true. They run the ball less than 50% of the time or around 50% of the time, and their passing game efficiency is comparable to any other offense in the league. The reason the Titans were able to make the playoffs last season is that Ryan Tannehill was the most efficient quarterback in football. It's about blending those two things and having a running game and a play action counter off of it that elevate the play of your quarterback. And that's the problem, is that the Bears currently don't have a system that props up their quarterback. And if you don't have one that needs to be, then that's when everything starts to fall apart.
What was your first thought when you realized the Bears were going to be without Eddie Goldman?
It's unfortunate. I think that, I mean, it's one of those things where if you need the offense or need the defense to be great, you want every element possible. You know, they're walking such a fine line to be a good team. Defensive success is so finicky and it's so fragile that you really need every single bit of help you can get. When you start picking those pieces away, it's a problem. At the same time, he's a valuable player, but he's the type of player you could theoretically lose and still be great. And if you have a pass rush that includes Akeem Hicks pushing the pocket, Quinn on the outside and Mack on the outside, it's going to make you less flexible and less deep without Goldman, but I still think in the most important areas of the game, you could still be successful.
Do you think Roquan Smith can be great?
That's a really complicated question. I tend to think so, okay. Yes.
Give us a complicated answer then.
I think that it's one of those things where who knows what's going on with him. You know, I mean, when you have a guy that is, it's been a little bit erratic and there have been some other questions about him and everything else, it's hard to say. I don't want to, you know, speculate about what's been going on and all of that stuff, but it's one of those things where talent-wise, absolutely. And some of the things I've seen him do, you definitely want to hope that he can put it together. And I think that's a position that takes longer than I think people give it credit for. You know, a lot of times that spot, you want to just plug that guy in and have him be great right away. But if you look at the history of kind of athletic off-ball linebackers, outside of maybe like Bobby Wagner and Luke Kuechly, who were great instantly, you had guys who struggled early in their careers. You know, Ryan Shazier was not great his first season in Pittsburgh and really figured it out. I think that you could probably say the same about the trajectory of Devin White right now in Tampa Bay. If he was kind of a mess in coverage last year, but you see it near the end of the season where he's starting to put it together a little bit. So I think it's a position that development and just overall progress is typically a little bit delayed, but it's right now it's either going to happen or it's not for him. I think this is the year where it has to.
I said this last year that I thought that Matt Nagy is a better head coach than he is coordinator / play caller, that he has forged a relationship of trust with his players in a season last year where I have seen things happen that would otherwise have spiraled away from a head coach. The fact that they finished 8-8 in a year that didn't feel like they finished 8-8, when it felt like they lost two games for every one that they won, he was doing something right as a head coach. So I'm going to give him credit for that. I'm going to allow him to use a lot of the equity they built up in a coach of the year first season. Do you think there's a competitive advantage in the middle of a pandemic if that trust remains there? Forget X's and O's and play calling and the fog of each individual game. Does it make the Bears more likely to win if there's going to be trust and discipline in the way that they handle themselves in these unique circumstances?
I think so. I think that having an understanding of what your players need, who they are, everything else is an advantage. I think that overall, continuity is going to be an advantage. If you look back at the last time we had this sort of weird entry point to the season where the practice time was a little bit different. The time around the players was a little bit different. It was the lockout in 2011. And for the most part, the teams that were successful that season were teams that had been together for an extended period of time. You're thinking about the Saints that year. The Packers came and coming off their Super Bowl win were fantastic. And then I believe the Steelers and the Ravens were both very good on defense again. So the teams that had been together for a little while had an advantage. And I think that building up equity, building up trust with the players in your building and having the chance to do it over multiple seasons is a good thing. But at the same time, I think that while he kept it together last year, I could definitely see, I think eroding is the correct word he used earlier, the trust starting to erode in the quarterback. And the guys in the locker room know that first. They are the first people, because they don't have an incentive professionally to believe in him like the coach and the GM do, to understand that he's not the guy. And if they know right away that Mitch is not the guy and the Bears continue to stick with him, I think that things could fall apart pretty easily.
How important is this draft class and its performance this year for Ryan Pace? And what's your thought about how they drafted and how they distributed their picks positionally?
I think the tight end is a question to me. I don't understand why you need another one. I think that there are other areas where you probably need more help. But at the same time, I think that the roster is at a place where you just draft the best players. You know, the corner was probably a necessity because they've traded away so many picks that they've been moved to a point of desperation and they need to fill holes. But you also need to pick the best players. So if it works out, then, I mean, I have no problem with what they did. I think that it's not the biggest area of need, but I also think there are arguments for drafting the best player instead of the players that you absolutely need. So it needs to work because a lot of the other drafts haven't worked. You know, his overall draft strategy is one of the reasons that the Bears are in this position, and one of the reasons that I'm just pretty pessimistic about their overall outlook, because let's say they are pretty good this year, but they do think they need to move on from a quarterback. We've seen that happen in the past where you have a team that's, you know, 9-7 and 10-6 and they're pretty good, and they decide we need an upgrade at quarterback. We're going to move up to get one. The Texans did that with Watson. The Chiefs did that with Mahomes. The Eagles did that with Carson Wentz. It's a recipe for success right now. And I think it works when you don't need to tank and your team's in a pretty good spot. The problem is the Bears roster is so thin because they've traded away so many picks and missed on so many picks that I don't think you can trade a future first-round pick to go get your guy. So at this point, they need to just go on a hot streak with draft picks and not trade any away, because the roster and the cover, to me, with homegrown talent is fairly bare.
We talked yesterday with Shalice Monza-Young, the NFL writer for Yahoo, and I always get a national perspective from somebody who isn't sort of in-town stupid like we can be. And she was wondering why the Bears wouldn't have taken a shot like the Patriots did at a quarterback that could step right in with some athleticism and come at a much less expensive price. And I think it's probably a fair question. I think I know there are probably good reasons why they didn't, but is that something that was all on your radar screen?
Yes, I absolutely think that if you remove a lot of the context, you absolutely would rather have Cam Newton at pretty much the minimum for no draft picks than Nick Foles and $20 million guaranteed for a fourth round pick.
Even though he's not a perfect fit, even though his skill set might not be exactly right, you would trust that Nagy could find a way to use Cam Newton.
I don't think that the offensive system is this tried and true thing where I need a quarterback that fits it over the best quarterback. You haven't earned enough goodwill with the way that the offense has been run to say, we need a guy to run this system. I'd rather have the best players and figure it out. That's my thought. But I also understand why coaches don't think that way. It makes sense to me why they would go with the certainty and the familiarity they'd get in Foles over rolling the dice on a guy they didn't know was healthy in March. I understand why it happened, but I definitely get the argument for why you'd want the higher ceiling quarterback.
Robert Mays, always good. Good health to you, man.
Yeah, you too. I'll talk to you soon.
That's Robert Mays of The Ringer with his football insight. Let's hear from some Chicago Bears. Next, the inside linebackers talk today, Danny Trevathan and Roquan Smith. We're going to hear some chunks of sound from both of those as they met the media. That's straight ahead on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We have Bears talking, so let's listen here on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zoom conferences with some really important players, a strength of the team in that front seven. Danny Trevathan brought back instead of Nick Kwiatkowski because of Trevathan's leadership in large part. And I love his southern accent too, because he's just got a way of phrasing some things that is unique. And he was asked what his message is to teammates about being responsible right now away from the team facilities.
We got to govern ourselves. Everybody got to be accountable. Everybody got to be responsible and think about the next man's family, as well as yours. Because you don't want nobody coming in there sick, and you know, you end up getting sick and you take it back home to your family. That's just not a good feeling or a good look for those situations. So the downtime is where you really have to be a pro. You gotta, you know, govern yourself and take it serious, man. One slip up and it can spread like wildfire, you know. As far as I see, so I feel like you just gotta home in and think about the bigger picture.
Kevin Fishbane.
Hey, Danny. One of the things that Coach DeLeon said that he thought last year before your injury, you were playing some of the best ball of your career. I'm wondering, did you feel that as also last year? And then, if so, how do you get back to that level, maybe even more this season?
Man, I was just getting started. You haven't seen, man. I'm being serious. I was just touching the tip of the bird. I started to feel for the defense. Started to get a feel for that inside backer for the defense. And, you know, playing with my guys and understanding. Now, you know, I understand football so well. I know how to, you know, play the game mentally and beat people mentally. You know, as well as physically. So I feel like I was definitely going to turn it up a couple notches last year. And to answer your question, how do I get back to that? I never lost it, you know, in my mind and how I feel and, you know, how it's showing right now. I never lost it. I just didn't have the format, you know, the stand to go out there and do it because of the situation. But I feel like, you know, it's not going to be no problem to get back to that dog. I just can't wait to go out there and, you know, finish where I left off.
Deion Miller. Danny, in light of all of the new protocols that you guys have to take just to stay safe, do you think it is realistic that you can move forward with the season safely? And what's the vibe been like with the guys as you have like a different pace to the preseason than you've had in the past?
To be honest with you, you never know whether we're going to have a season or not. All you can do is be prepared and take care of yourself. The vibe's been pretty well. You know, guys that, you know, are concerned about it, but, you know, we're playing the smart ones ourselves. You know, that's why when you're worried about it, you know, you take it more seriously and you're on top of guys. I think this season is kind of funny because you never, like, truly know, like, until it really gets here. You know, the preseason's out the way, so we're going to see how that go.
Just kind of detail for us at this stage what exactly you're after and what it is you want to accomplish going forward.
I want to be remembered. You know, legacy lives on forever. I don't know if you heard me, but I talked about, you know, as a kid, you know, everybody dream of, you know, playing football or, you know, having that dreams of theirs fulfilled. You always want to leave behind something that can be remembered of yourself. Like people talk about you playing for the name on the front of your jersey as well as the name on the back of your jersey. So I want to leave that, you know, out there because this is such a great tradition of linebackers the Bears have. I want to be up there in there. And to do that, you know, I have to make plays. A Super Bowl would definitely, you know, put a stamp on that. And, you know, you have to have a great team, man. I feel like we're in the right situation. I have one Super Bowl, but that's definitely not with the team that I'm with. But I feel like we're so close right now. And to do that would add to that legacy. And, you know, Coach DeLeon know a lot about, you know, the legacy and leaving that behind. I mean, just to do that, I mean, it'll be a dream of mine.
Hey, Danny, I'm sorry to make you repeat yourself, but earlier you're kind of breaking up. Can you mind going over what you were saying again earlier when I asked you about potentially opting out and you were talking about your fiance and kids and how that played a role in your decision?
Yeah, my fiance, man, that's like my backbone. So
when Corona happened, she has, you know, chronic asthma and allergies. That's crazy. So I really, you know, thought about her, all the sacrifices she made. I think she deserved all the credit in the world, and my kids. That's definitely comes first to me, you know. Family, football, obviously God. But yeah, that just, you know, going in your mind because, you know, you was hearing so many different things about the virus and all this and that, you know, but, you know, they start talking about the effects of it and all this and that. Just throwing stuff out there. But I took it into consideration just because of, you know, her and her sacrifice and how important family is and how important she is to me.
Last one, Mark Grody.
Danny, I know you don't like the circumstances, but as a veteran, are you and other veteran teammates actually happy that there's no preseason games? Are you better off without them?
Me, I feel like I'm not really a fan of the preseason as well. So, I'm okay with it. I probably wouldn't have played as much, or I would probably have been smarter about it. But for the young guys, it's good for sure to go out there and see how well they can put it in a game setting and execute their calls and play against somebody else that's been learning as well. And so I feel like it is what it is, to be honest. But I feel like it's a good call in my opinion.
Danny Trevathan getting ready to lead the Bears defense this season. And right next to him is going to be the fast-rising youngster Roquan Smith, who was asked his reaction to Eddie Goldman's opt-out.
He's a huge part of the defense, but, you know, individuals have to make certain decisions for their best interest, and I completely understand that and respect that. We all care for him, and we're here for him, and we think about him, but we have to continue to go.
Roquan, how much mass did you put on throughout the offseason? And for you, where are you at physically coming through the rehab and everything that you had to go through in the winter?
I feel like I'm at 100% for sure. And I feel like I put on a couple pounds and whatnot. And I think some of it will come off when I'm like in camp and things of that nature. But I feel really good. So I'm just excited to see where I'm at and then getting out there and competing versus some of the guys.
Roquan, Mark DeLeon mentioned the noticeable difference he saw in you physically through the rehab and stuff like that. Was that a conscious decision on your part? Do you feel like being bigger, better, faster, whatever, just being better physically in better shape will make you better? Or was that just kind of the way that worked out?
Well, I definitely feel like the better shape you're in, that's the better player you'll be. So I was definitely thinking coming into the season, I wanted to be this my best year to the day. And so I was just like, I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that happened, regardless of how much work I have to put in. So just putting in work each and every day, and that's just tends to what happens when you put in some good work.
Mark Grody.
Roquan, I think everybody that we have spoken to this offseason about you has said that you are poised to have a big year. Number one, why do you think people are saying that? And then number two, if you can clarify, did you say that you feel like you need to lose a couple pounds? I think you said that the weight will come off. Is that what you were saying, or am I mischaracterizing?
Well, more so just saying I'll lose. You tend to lose weight a couple pounds during camp, so you try to come in a couple pounds. And everyone's different, so you try to come in a couple pounds more than what you would like to be, in a sense. But I just feel like it's just me. I just have a chip on my shoulder, so it's just more so myself just knowing what I need to do to make myself the best possible player I need to be. So regardless if that's coming in each and every day, well, what it is, coming in each and every day and busting my tail and really not taking no for an answer and just doing whatever it takes.
Brad?
Roquan, so how much did you weigh when you reported for camp? And what will be the key to that consistent level of play that you want to achieve and accomplish this season?
I would say I came in at 234, and it's just more so just – coming in and just doing what I need to do. It's not really a lot, just God willing for me not to get hurt or anything like that. I feel like if that's not the case, then I feel like just me week in and week out, I feel like my mindset right now, I feel like I definitely can do some nice things this year. So I'm just looking forward to that.
Roquan, Danny said that guys are fiending and really scratching their necks, just eager to get to real football and start practicing. Where are you at in your sort of eagerness, and what are you most curious to see from this team, considering you guys haven't practiced since December?
Yeah, I'm very excited. And I'm just more so eager just to get out and play the game that I love. And I think everyone is just very excited. You know, walkthroughs are one thing, but just being able to put the pads back on and doing what you love day in and day out. So I think that's big time. And I think we're just all eager to play good ball. And I'm just excited to see everyone come out and be the best version of themselves and push themselves each and every day. And I feel like if that's the case, then like the sky's the limit for us.
Roquan Smith sounding good, sounding like he's feeling good. I hope there's football, because just talking about it with Robert Mays and hearing some of these Bears getting ready to go, I'm ready to see them in action. So I hope the NFL can get its act together. I know that the likelihood is maybe low that it's going to come off in the way that they envision, but I want to have it to think about. Next up, we're going to talk to both Dan McNeil and Danny Parkins, because they're doing something very special this afternoon that you're going to want to listen to. They'll preview it next on The Score. There'll be something fun going on this afternoon. It is a festive and fun Friday for the McNeil and Parkins show, because it is a special from Maggie Land. And all of the precautions have been signed off on. A plan was submitted to make sure that this is being done right, to make sure that the example is being properly set for how to have a live radio show and proper social distancing outside and masked and safely. Well, they're going to do it. So now on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline, Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, we are joined by @DannyMac670 and @DannyParkins on Twitter. It's Mac and Parkins. Hello, boys.
Hello, Bernsy.
What's up, Dan?
You tell me. Who are you on the golf course right now?
We just finished up. Danny got me by one stroke on my home course. We only played nine today. You know, the evils of a 1 o'clock production meeting rearing their ugly head today. But yeah, Parkins beat me by a stroke. But we're all going to be winners once the grill gets fired up in a little bit. I got King Crab Legs, Alaskan Reds. If they're not Alaskan Reds, I'm not interested. I got scallops. I've got the home skillet advantage with the scallops today. I want a redemption song for that garbage I served up in Arizona last spring that was not representative of my scallop chops. So it's going to be, and we're getting barbecue from down the street as well, Doc's Smokehouse. And there's plenty of icy beverages. And, Bernsey, I wish you could make it, man. I mean, if you're not doing anything, drive on down to Hooterville.
You know, I appreciate the invite. And actually, Mitch asked me if I wanted to come down as a surprise. The reason for my decline is because on Wednesday, all four of us are going to be packed into an SUV driving to take my daughter to college. I didn't want to – I'm being really extra careful with exposure right now. She's under a pre-college 14-day quarantine, and I have to really, really err on the side of caution if we're all going to be in a car together for 5 hours.
That makes perfect sense. I can assure you, as someone who has been taking this 10 out of 10 serious, we are going to have no problem staying more than 6 feet away. Like you see in the newscasters and people that get into the same studio, and they've just like extended the desk a little bit, like the guys on TNT Inside the NBA did it, so they can be a healthy 6-8 feet apart. We're at Mackeyland, and I mean, we could be 60 feet apart from each other with how much space we have back here. And Mac's backyard reminds me of the scene in Knocked Up when they're doing mushrooms and they head to Vegas. There are six different types of chairs in Mac's backyard. It's unbelievable how much seating there is over here. So I don't think we're going to be closer than we are normally when I'm in Lincoln Park and he is in his home. But honestly, we're not going to be much closer to each other than that.
Still, though, my hope as a listener, as a daily listener, is to get that sense of conviviality through the radio. Just the idea that everyone is there together, I think, is helpful for those of us who kind of want to live vicariously through something like this.
I mean, conviviality or just camaraderie, however you want to put it. Yes, I think that's exactly what it's going to be. I mean, it's a pool party. And Steph is
now, that's not what you said when I saw you on the practice range. You said the conviviality of today's events, it's just gonna be so textured. It's just gonna, you know, if a logician were here,
granular. It's granular.
Granular. That's the word I was looking for.
Oh, thanks for listening.
Oh, we love it. I still haven't heard Ian Happ's response to you saying ipso facto logician, whatever the hell you said, but I don't ever want to. I just want to imagine in my head what he might have said in response.
I was imagining what Dakota Meckes would say. It's sort of like the Beavis and Butthead thing when a thought bubble comes up and there's just like a scribble in it. Yeah, that's more fun for me. Now, I heard the other day that there is good friends and family could be involved. Is this Owen's first trip to a pool?
Yes, which is why this is big. They're on their way as we speak, so they're going to get here before the show. So I'm going to be able to get in the pool with my son, and this is a rite of passage, but I mean, this is my father would be disappointed because he just would throw me and my sisters into the pool when we were about 2 years old and just assume that we would come up and he would be there if one of us sunk like a stone. But, you know, Steph's taking all the precautions about UV rays and sunscreen, and he's got a hat and floaties and all of that 21st century stuff. But yeah, I'm very excited to get my son into a pool.
Yeah, I remember when we didn't know how much our daughter enjoyed being in water because she has always her whole life dealt with low muscle tone, with hypotonia, which means she's just kind of gravity sort of pulls at her more. It's sort of like a picture of a marionette with its strings a little relaxed. And as soon as she got into a pool, it was freedom because gravity couldn't pull on her as much. And it's just, even when she was at a very, very young age, she just lit up. And we hadn't really thought of that yet. And it made a big deal for her to always find pool time because it was just something that she took to naturally.
I think I am as excited as anybody about seeing Owen in the pool for the first time. You know what? what my little buddy and Steph and Owen have been through these last 7 months has not been easy. And, you know, we get attached to people every now and again we work with. And having watched Danny grow up from his early 20s to become the man he's become and the dad he's become, and while pianos were falling out of the sky and aimed at his head for on several occasions these last few months, I've never heard this dude bitch. I've never heard him say, why me? I'm very proud of this guy for the way he's handled some challenges in his life with Brad, his brother, and Owen. And it's going to be a great, great day. And we do have a few in-studio guests as well. Mark Lazarus is a region boy, transplanted New Yorker. He's going to stop by, as well as teammate David Haw. He's coming by, too.
That's cool. I mean, I'm trying to think who else you could get. Is Ron Kittle around there?
Kittle, I think, lives in Crete. I thought about giving Kitty a buzz, but we're kind of packed because we want to capture the conviviality of it all, too. You know, we want Danny and Shep to have some mic time. And Zach Plesac is coming on today. He's going against the Sox tomorrow. And
ooh,
Tony's
he's been
on
nasty.
Today, so.
He's absolutely lights
yeah.
out.
He's struck out 17 hitters in his two appearances, and he's walked one.
Jeez.
He's ridiculous. And Max guy at the golf course today was telling me that this is a big weekend series for the White Sox. I kind of feel like they are, but yeah, Zach Plesac hopefully will take it a little easy on the White Sox. And don't hit the ball to Eloy. That's really got to be the oh, my God.
Yeah,
I want to spend 2 hours of today's four-hour flight on that play in left field. It was just so awesome.
I mean, I was so glad I saw it in real time. You saw it setting up, and you know because it's him. And I don't know if he has some sort of sensory disorder, but does he drive? Because if he does, I want to know where he is all the time.
It was like Luis, this is an obscure reference, Luis Mendoza, the guy who could skate really fast in Mighty Ducks 2 but had no brakes. It's like, he was a plenty good athlete. He should be able to figure it out. But once he gets running in a direction, the only thing that seems to stop him is the wall, or in this case, a net. Like, he has no ability to, like, decelerate or do anything out there. It's just, it was absolutely hilarious. Like, where are you going? Why are you diving into the stands when there's no one there and you've already missed the ball? But all he's got to do is hit 40 home runs and stay healthy, and no one will care.
We need to get him a drag chute, one of those drogue chutes that they use for, like, you know, drag racers, or like a re-entering space capsule. You know, something will just pop out behind him to slow him down when he crosses a certain boundary.
There's an accident waiting to happen out there. And for how long do you let him toil out there? Because it's brutal. He's terrible.
Yeah,
I can't remember a worse. I can't remember a young outfielder. I mean, Carlos Lee was better.
No, because he didn't try. Because that's part of the solution. Is Carlos Lee never got moving more than three steps in any direction?
honestly, isn't that maybe the plan here? Just don't get hurt. If it's hit right at you, catch it, and everything else, Luis Robert will catch.
Guys, have fun today. And after hearing the menu, I want to know who's delivering the allopurinol.
Yeah, no doubt. This is a gout outbreak waiting to happen. I don't know, Parkins. You've never had a battle with gout, have you? I don't think you've had it.
But my first time taking Owen into the pool. I'd love for my first gout experience to be with you, Radio Dad.
Guys, enjoy. We'll enjoy along with you today.
Thanks, Dad. Have a good weekend.
The two Dans, Danny Mac and Danny Parkins, having their Mackie Land pool party today among our guest list that included Robert Mays, Jason Benetti, and Mark Cannizzaro, a golf writer from the New York Post. That was a whole hell of a lot of fun today. And the other story, I got onto Twitch. I'm on there. I'm actually sort of, you know, I'm seeing this chat. I posted a link during the midday midway. So be a part of that Twitch community because it's going to be fun. It's only going to grow from here. Twitch.tv. Chicago670 The Score. Brian Gertsch has directed that feed and moderated that chat, and he's been the guy in charge of making that whole operation work. Jay Zawoski is our executive producer. Ray Diaz, the executioner, doing all the things that he does. Lawrence Holmes is coming up next. He's got Scott Merkin at 12:40, and he's got Russ Dorsey on the Cubs at 1. We are going to digest everything that happens in golf with Mark Rolfing on Monday and so much more after that with a whole weekend of baseball. Have a safe and happy and healthy weekend, and let's do all the things we need to do to keep ourselves and others healthy as well by listening to doctors and listening to people who listen to doctors. We will talk again on Monday. Have a great weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.